We're speaking with Amy Hunter, who's the executive director of Outfront Kalamazoo, and also with Grayson Valenti, who's Outfront's director of communication. Thank you both for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We're going to be talking about Pride Month, which got underway or will be getting underway Friday, June 12th. After the physical events of Pride Week had to be reconfigured because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But first, I'd like to ask you both, the Pride Month was delayed for a week. Why was that?
As the protests broke out over the police brutality that we saw, particularly, I think, the George Floyd incident in Minneapolis, even though there were many, many others in a long history, that it seemed a truly apropos moment for us to stand in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, there are lots of platitudes. None of us are free until all of us are free, and all those things. And the reason they're platitudes is that they're real. Is that there is truth to them. And the LGBTQ community suffers probably the worst at that intersection of sex and gender diversity and race. So it didn't feel like a time when we should be doing any sort of celebration. It felt like a time that we should take that week and be very thoughtful about our messaging and prompt people to think about what allyship and what movement building truly looks like for justice.
Okay, Grayson, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, and I think Amy kind of touched on this a little bit, but, you know, we felt that it was really important to give that space for the movement and what they were trying to accomplish. And, you know, it felt like the right thing to do. We felt like it was important to lift up the voices who were, you know, who needed to be heard right now. And, you know, Pride, the Pride Month celebration began, as I'm sure you have seen or heard, back in, you know, the late 1960s with the Stonewall riots. And those were led by, you know, queer people of color, and especially trans women of color and Black trans women, against police brutality and, you know, over-policing of the queer bars of the area, particularly the Stonewall Inn. So, you know, this is where we all started. So we felt that it was only right to, you know, give that space for those voices as we needed that space way back when.
As we're speaking tomorrow, which will be Friday, June 12th, Pride Month is getting underway. What is the lineup this year?
We are opening with, as we traditionally do, even with a physical Pride, with a drag show. Drag has always been a really big component of most Pride celebrations, and it's a vestige of how the celebration began in 1969, with the drag queens and transvestites of the era. So Grayson knows more about the troupe that has come together, and there are some favorite area performers, and they are they're promising us a fabulous show.
Yeah, absolutely. We have drag performers from, like Amy said, all over the local area who have come together for us and offered to do this for us. They really wanted to give something, you know, wonderful and familiar to the community since we can't gather in person this year. We have other great events going on this month. We've got two music sets, music performances scheduled. One for Saturday this week with Kit Malone, and then later in the month with Hananiah, we're very excited about. But we've also got things like, you know, Profiles in Pride, which Amy will be interviewing certain community leaders, just to talk about a couple of things, have a discussion. But we also have things going on like our Still Proud Gallery, where we're inviting people to, send in their photos and tell us why they're still proud to, to be queer or to be, intersectional right now, even though we can't gather together.
I wanted to ask you both, obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic has caused major changes in the celebration of Pride Week and now Pride Month. But do you think that the pandemic has had, special effects on the LGBTQ plus community?
Absolutely. I think that we have some of the highest rates of vulnerable, economically vulnerable folks of any segment of our society. So I think we've seen a disproportionate number of people, particularly at the intersection of race, that have been experiencing terribly adverse health outcomes. They are some of the first people to get fired, not furloughed, but fired, which cascades into losing housing and losing access, to medical care, that sort of thing. So we are, we're taking a look at what those numbers look like, what has happened during throughout the procession of the COVID pandemic. And we're going to use some of those statistics, I believe, to help hone our direct service programming for, homeless youth, providing referrals for housing and medical care, that sort of thing. And I think it's going to take a while for the community as a, as a whole to recover from this. It will take us a lot longer. But that doesn't mean we're any less committed or any less resilient. We've always had a harder road to hoe than most segments of the community. So I think we're really going to shift into this idea of agency for people and help these segments of the community realize that they do have a voice because they are victims of systemic and institutional bias. Does not mean that their ability to form a political voice that can be heard is gone. It's a matter of finding the political will within your community to develop that voice, and we're hoping to play a role in partnering with these communities to help them advocate for themselves and advocate alongside them. So I think that there are long-term takeaways from the pandemic.
Grayson, did you want to add anything?
I think Amy hit it right on the head. There are plenty of disparities that LGBTQ plus people face, and the intersections that our community holds kind of bolster that almost. But I think we're at Outfront is doing everything that we can, as Amy mentioned, to kind of provide not only peer support for the community, but healing space. Events like the Still Proud event series to still bring everybody together and let everybody know that we're still here. We're still fighting this fight with everyone, and we will be here when this whole thing is over, when we are able to come out of quarantine and get back to the office. We're still here to help people and to provide those important, severely important resources to the community that people do take advantage of through us, our queer-friendly list of doctors or therapists or even lawyers or housing resources. All of these different things kind of come together, and we try our best to be able to provide the community with things that they can really truly use to, you know, get past some of these disparities.
There's another really interesting, I think, angle to this or perspective on this, and that is oftentimes community resource centers like Outfront are not seen as being as politically important because they don't always delve into advocacy. But what one of the things that we do that is ultra important to our communities, to our constituents, is that we provide a hub via which people can connect with other people like them. So many of us feel alone in the world, particularly if we've come from an adverse family or social situation. Maybe, you know, our faith tradition looks down down on us, or our family's traditional view of people that are different is not wonderful. So one of the things at Outfront is just being able to have, you know, a drop-in center that is a safe space, no matter what your identity is, no matter who you are or who you love. Having that open, again, I think is one of the things I'm looking forward to most of all. I don't want to push it, but I'm really looking forward to having it open, because I think a lot of our community took advantage of that, to have a safe space where they can just come and be whom they are.
The pandemic has had major effects on all kinds of nonprofit organizations, particularly in fundraising and you know, other impacts to how they do their work. Has that also been true of Outfront?
Yes, absolutely. We took a Pride. Kalamazoo Pride has historically been our biggest fundraiser. And deciding to do the right thing to cancel the physical celebration this year blew a really big hole in our revenue side of our budget. Don't get me wrong, we also were able to unburden ourselves of some significant expenses, but it still left us with a significant shortfall. One of the things that is really, truly cool is that our funders and a lot of our constituents have stepped up to help fill that void. It still isn't going to be all clear sailing for us, but it certainly is astonishingly better than what I thought it was going to look like. Bells has continued to play the role of a presenting sponsor for us. You know, Stryker is one of our longest sponsors, PNC Bank. You know, there's just a whole list. Grayson probably has a better handle on that. But we've been able to recoup. People have stayed with us and said, you know, we understand the importance of Outfront Kalamazoo. And because Pride cannot happen for the safety of all of us this year, doesn't mean that Outfront Kalamazoo should suffer for years to come to try to recoup that one big budget shortfall. So we've had a lot of folks step up and give us financial support, be it philanthropic or whether or not they get some sponsee value out of what they're doing with us.
As we wrap up, is there anything that you, either of you or both of you, would like to add that we haven't touched on yet?
I'm truly excited for the virtual events that we're doing. You know, there's this one cool thing we're doing, you know, how we always do face painting for the kids that come at the regular Pride celebrations. And this year, our program director, Michael Cleggs, figured out how to find a caricature artist who will, you know, people can get in, you know, the digital line and line up, and this person will do their caricature while they can watch him do that on their computer screen, and then they get an email copy of the caricature that he's done. And I, you know, so things like that, I think, can become part of our regular Pride once we're back to a physical thing. I think that there are online and virtual components that I think we're going to discover with a few tweaks are really going to work out well to add to the diversity of entertainment, the diversity of content, of information, and the diversity of interests that we serve in subsequent Pride festivals.
You know, I'm really excited too. I think that this, you know, despite the pandemic, you know, looking outside and not seeing anybody, you know, in their cars or anything, it's weird, you know, we've never lived through anything like this before, but it's afforded us a very interesting opportunity to come together in a different way. And it really shows that we, you know, we're still here and we want to be here. And I think the community definitely recognizes that. And I think everybody's so excited, especially for the premiere of the drag show tomorrow. It's just going to be such a great time. And it'll be a great month, a great rest of the month as well, to celebrate Pride Month, even though we can't gather together physically.
Grayson Valenti is the Director of Communication, and Amy Hunter is the Executive Director of Out Front Kalamazoo. Thanks again so much for taking time to speak with us.
You are welcome. Thank you for having us on, Andy.
Yeah, thank you.